Hi, this is Christy Marks, creator of Gem and the Holograms. You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG and Mike.
Yes, hello, I am here.
Hello, yes. So, just to preface this episode.
Okay.
If you're looking for a rant, you've come to the right place. No, it's nothing not geek related, so Don't have to get up in arms about that, but it is an annoying trend. So what was it the other day? I posed this post to you,
mm-hmm.
and then it just so happened that someone else posted it.
Mm-hmm. Someone we know, someone we've interviewed, or I've interviewed.
Yeah, and it was rather entertaining because I could relate to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you're wondering what that problem is, well, it has to do with, let's call it creative editing of movies.
Mm-hmm.
But not be a total jerk about it, even though I would like to be.
So here's the thing, folks. We're just going to let Chris Tucker say what Steve is trying to say, and we'll be back in a moment.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
So yeah, folks, Chris Tucker, we can't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Yeah. So what, again, brought this on is I was checking a post from my old college, and
mm-hmm.
they had this article from Slash Film. And it says, more or less, here's why movie dialogue has gotten more difficult to understand and three ways to fix it. And when I was in film class, one of the general irritations that I had personally mm-hmm. was the way that we were to edit movies mm-hmm. or edit film or, you know, just cinematography. And so getting onto my soapbox that I posted on these two posts, I said this has been an issue I've not liked in particular directors or how things are mixed at all. If I cannot hear the dialogue or constantly have to move the volume up or down to catch it, it makes the movie totally unenjoyable for me. I want to hear the story in dialogue over having amped up music or sound where I literally cannot understand them. I do watch most modern movies with subtitles due to this fact, but I think it boils down to creative vision, and I've gotten to the point when I can't understand or hear it, I shut it off. So Christopher Nolan films are terrible for this, which makes them totally unwatchable for a second pass for me. Point in case, Bane. You know, and somebody else on the my college class under this article puts, I literally cannot watch a movie without subtitles because I just miss everything. And then Christy Marks actually
mm-hmm.
posts the same thing, which is funny because it was right around the same time. And mm-hmm. Everybody else below started commenting about, you know, somebody who mumbles and starts saying something way back in the 60s. And then, you know, somebody else was talking about having to resort to subtitles, you know, not the best solution because they cover up part of the picture. And the sad thing is it's taught and it's director preferences over anything else. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like J.J. Abrams with the lens flares. Like, they serve no purpose other than the fact that he just likes lens flares. And, yeah. and the same thing is to be said of Christopher Nolan. He, you know, going back, let's say, I don't know, 20 years, This Slash Film article mentions the fact that you used to be able to understand 99% of the dialogue in Hollywood films, but over the past 10 years or so, I would go as far as 20. He says that I've noticed that percentage has dropped significantly, and it's not due to hearing loss. It's kind of the point where, you know, not being able to parse entire lines of dialogue, mostly because, you know, there's no subtitles. And it's a lot of, you know, like this article mentions that he's not the only one that's had these experiences, but reached out to several professional sound editors, designers, and mixers, many of whom have won Oscars for their work on some of the biggest films. One person refused to talk about it, saying that it would be professional suicide to address this on record. Another agreed to talk, but only under the condition that they remain anonymous, and several others just didn't care and were blunt. And
right,
it's, you know, a lot of them are saying it's not easy to mix a movie. You know, everyone thinks you're moving levers, but it's not like that. Now, myself, having done audio dramas and having to mix edit audio dramas, it's not as easy as it sounds. However, there is a balance. Like when I do sound effects, I make sure that they're loud enough to be observed, but they don't overshadow the dialogue. When I do music insertion, it does not overshadow the dialogue. The whole thing for me is I want to hear it. And when I was in college, I edited the movie or this short film how I saw it, like how I imagined it after reading the script and how the director wanted it. And I was also the sound editor for this short film. And when the teacher got a hold of it, I mean, no disrespect to him, because I did learn from him that I did get a fairly decent grasp from, especially when it comes to the fact that he taught me that the characters are not supposed to breathe. And it took a while for that to sink in. And it makes a lot of sense, because when you're in the dialogue, unless it's like a purposeful, like, or something like that, you don't want to hear them catching their breath after each sentence or after every few words.
So I can't tell you how much breath I remove from podcasts.
Yes. So that being said, he taught me that aspect, which was good. But the bad part was I had the audio. I had the music below the audio of the vocals, and then I had the sound effects kind of in the middle between the two. And then he came in and did his Hollywood thing, and it totally threw off my mix. And so I had to just deal with it, because that was what he wanted. That again kind of ties into this article, though, where it says one of them is it's a purposeful choice. Like Christopher Nolan again, the director of Tenet and Interstellar and The Dark Knight Rises and various other films. What's funny is I believe Tenet bombed hard and Interstellar wasn't much better. And The Dark Knight Rises wasn't, it was almost panned by comparison to the previous film on various levels. And, you know, yes, he's one of the most successful filmmakers of this generation and, you know, does whatever he wants with sound design. It results in a lot of scenes where audiences cannot understand what his characters say. And, you know, other filmmakers have complained about it to him and asked, you know, why. And they say that he just kind of doesn't, you know. I don't think he cares. I think he wants people to give him bad publicity, because then he can explain his methods to everyone. And then, you know, people don't actually understand it. I don't know. It's one of those things that just drives me bonkers when I watch something. And one of the better organizations that actually does really well with letting you hear the dialogue, Disney.
Yeah.
When it's anything Marvel related, you can hear everything. You hear everything they say.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then other times, yes, it's not the directors, it's the actors and how they decided to do, you know, the mumbly or the breathy or, you know, type of acting. Another ingredient that they say is part of the problem is that sound isn't respected enough on set.
Yeah.
Which, you know, one of the directors on this article mentions that, you know, if the sound guy goes, "Can you get one more take from me?" They go, "Nope, we're wrapping. We've got to move on to another setup." And I think that's also because of the instance where they have to pump out so many TV shows and movies nowadays because mm-hmm. of all these streaming platforms that are just sucking in the content.
Yeah. And I like how the article talks about streaming for sound, like sound for streaming services over theatrical, and how the mixes are different and how the technology works in order to get it, you know, whatever. I am not one of those people that, if it's obvious, like obviously Christopher Nolan, what I was going to say was, what the hell is the name of the stupid guy that plays Fat Man in the Nolan films?
Christian Bale.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. With the gravel that he has in his mouth, and with, like, I have always felt that even though I love The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight is the loudest music and sound effect film that I've ever heard, because the music just takes over. And I love the Hans Zimmer score. I'm a music score guy. That's what I am. I love music in movies and TV and video games. But if I'm watching the movie, I want to, as you've said earlier, want to be able to hear the dialogue. At the same time, for me personally, I refuse to use subtitles, because I don't want to read my television. I want to watch and hear my television. I want to hear what is on the screen. I don't want to. And yes, now we have streaming and whatever, and there's always been, or at least since it was invented, there's always a rewind button. You can be like, I'm watching this and watching this. Hey, wait, what'd that guy say? Rewind half a second. Oh, that's what he said.
What you talking about, Willis?
But there are times in certain films and TV shows and other things that you can't do that, because even if you do rewind it, you still don't hear it because something drowns out the vocal. And you don't want to, you want to have a great mix of all of the elements coming together that make a great entertainment product.
Don't let me find you out here again.
We're trying to help you.
I don't need help.
Not my diagnosis. What gives you the right? What's the difference between you and me?
I'm not wearing hockey pads.
And it just,
it's like I said, it's one of those things that just it infuriates me when I watch something, just because of the fact that there's no reason with the amount of content out there that I have mm-hmm. to sit there and watch something that's badly mixed.
Yeah.
Like I will shut it off. I will move on to something else. It's the same thing goes for something that's with excessive profanity. Like I'll tolerate some, I don't care. It's when it's like,
I'm just going to do this and you can bleep it out if you want to. What you're basically saying is you don't mind watching profanity as long as they're not doing blah blah blah, like they're not doing like every other word is a curse.
Yeah, word. I mean, there's for instance, there's a movie by Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. Go figure. He has one movie in particular that it's so bad. I just, as a token, because my wife used to like watching Adam Sandler movies, as did I, mm-hmm. it was a Netflix release. I found a way of getting it off of there and wanted purely, like, I was never going to keep it as it
was. It Ridiculous Six?
No. The Do-Over.
Oh, The Do-Over. That's right. Yeah.
And it was like him and David Spade or something. Mm-hmm. Anyways. It was so bad. I just for fun, I decided to re-edit the entire film.
I remember when you did this. Yeah.
And it was like 2 hours, somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
When I got done, it was 37 minutes. Because there was also like some nudity stuff in it. And to each their own. I don't care to watch any of that in my films. Like it can be insinuated. Just give me a good story, good characters, good writing. I don't need to see anything like to get the gist of it. But like I said, I'll put up with like certain profanities anyway, just like Christmas Vacation, Clark Griswold. It's iconic. Yeah. Like it's different. It's not it's an every other word thing. It's just he's literally mad to the point. He just doesn't know what to do. So there, like I said, it's a little bit different there. So
in that case, in Christmas Vacation, what is so great about that is even though he is cursing and doing all of that. In the TV edits for it, when they go to change it, like they switch it to,
I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there in Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no good, rotten, far-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey stuff he is! Where's the Tylenol?
There ain't nothing like that line, though, in the original film, where he does that rant, and I love that rant. I have that audio somewhere.
I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there in Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, far-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
The Xmas Vacation rant is great because of the way he ends it. Holy shit, where's the Tylenol? And he just walks off because he has gotten, you look at that film, he's gotten everything off of his chest. This is a guy that wants to have the best Christmas that he can have for his family. He wants to do everything right. He wants to do everything for everybody. And close to the end, he comes to the realization that he can't, and he has to just explode on them. It's kind of like when a podcaster is talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, and he is asking you a question, but yet at the same time, he is not letting you answer. You usually just end up going off and just shaking and screaming and just shut the fuck up and let me talk. You know, the discussion needs to be about the movie itself. Yes, there can
the source it, material.
Hold on,
is
hold
important.
On. Let me fucking finish a fucking thought. God damn it.
Oh.
Memories, folks. They're great. But yeah, I mean, I don't. Curse words are. They
like
are,
I said, I can tolerate it as long as it's got a reason.
Right. For
if
me,
it's like if it's every other word, like
no.
Stuff I grew up with, like hearing people do, I can't tolerate it because it sounds ignorant. There's a million other ways of saying what you're trying to say.
Yeah. For me, they are sentence enhancers. Like if we're sitting here talking and whatever, and this giant like never before heard thunderclap happens. Not that it's going to happen, because even though it rains here in the state of Washington, we get very few actual thunderstorms. But if some loud crash were to happen as we're recording this podcast, and I turn to look or turn to look down or whatever and be like, holy shit, what the hell was that? Like, that's fine, because that I'm reacting to something. Or if I'm describing something and I say, that is the best damn thing I have. That is the best damn piece of audio I have ever heard, and I can't wait to listen to it again. You know, sentence enhancers. They should not be
every other word.
Yeah, it should not be a thing where every other word is a like a curse word is a descriptor, because they're supposed to be emotional reactions.
Yeah.
Like, oh fuck, my wife died a month ago. Like, you know, that's fine, you know, kind of thing.
Back to the original point though.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, they even bring up that a lot of it is also brought up because of technology with the issues with audio.
Yeah.
Just because everything's completely digital audio, digital cinema. Part of the reason with that is because when everything was shot on film and edited with tape, it was much more laborious process and much more technically challenging to do a whole lot with sound design. Everything had to be very conscious choice and a very intentional soundscape that they create. Since it was so cost intensive and labor intensive, they wanted to make sure that the story got first across and emotion gets sorted of directed with music, and that's about it. And every pass that you do with an analog system depletes the quality as well. So, you know, they say, but now that they have faster turnarounds and much more capabilities as far as what they can do with the sound design, including playing around with ambience and sound effects, to put a concrete reason on it is hard, but a lot of it comes down to, I have this toy, so I'm going to play with it. Which, again, that brings up the J.J. Abrams, you know, lens flare, garbage. You know, and then there's the passive listening or the you know, familiar listening or mixing for cinemas or just really anything, or mixing for streaming.
Yeah.
You know, you have various different audio masters, whether it be 7.1 and, you know, 48 kilohertz, 24-bit master audio or, you know, whatever. There's so many different ways that they can go about it. And they suggest, you know, there's some different ways you can fix it, including, you know, because they say that a lot of people just don't prioritize sound. They know that they need to have it, but they don't necessarily think about it very creatively. Like, why bother? And some people just don't understand it. It's a mystery to them. I guess it kind of... It needs to kind of matter more, because if people are starting to get frustrated and just not care for the artistic work being put into it, even though it may be a stellar and awesome movie, if you can't understand it and it just takes you out of the whole situation because you can't fathom what they're saying, then maybe it's not a great choice.
Yeah. And you have to, you should not, the whole thing about visual and audio mediums is you focus on everything and make it seamless, like you said. Like, it needs, things should not, if you have the budget, like, if you're doing a Christopher Nolan film, and you have, and that film has the budget to put in the best sound designers, the best visual effects people, the best everything, then you should be able to get everything done in a way where it works.
Yep. And part of the problem they say in this article too is that, as you know, a sound designer, it's like, what can you really do? You know, saying as a sound designer, I'm not a loud enough voice, but a director is. And so basically it has to matter to the director to listen to their people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, you know, they're saying that there are a lot of movie makers who aren't technicians, so they don't really understand a lot of this. They just like to make movies. But if we explain to them how we're not getting the message out properly and people aren't getting the message, maybe the artists, you know, themselves will make steps to fix it, which I kind of agree, but I ultimately think with the way that the machine is set up nowadays, I don't think people care. I think it's just going to be, you're going to get it's like converting a VHS tape to a DVD. Garbage in, garbage out. You're not getting the original, you know, master. Yeah. It's going to matter, like, whether you believe it or not, it's going to matter. So if you don't work from the best quality version, you're going to end up with just nothing really usable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's just one of those things where you want to have the best product you can, but due to whatever monetary limitations you have or whatever. Like, look, I still have the same. Obviously, I've bought newer. I've had the same one, but I have a pair of headphones and a microphone for podcasting. You know, we use Skype or Zencaster or sometimes Discord when it's not so overloaded, which it's overloaded all the time now. But anyway, you know, we use all of that to record this stuff. And then we go and level it with Levelator 2, and we go into Adobe Audition. And I have said this before on this show and other shows we've done recently. I have no life. I have all the time in the world. Do I want to sit here for 4 hours going through every second of audio for an hour and 20-minute show? No, not really, but I do, because I want to make sure the Geekcast Radio Network has podcasts that sound the best that I can get them to sound. I want to make sure our talking or our silence isn't too long or isn't broken up or doesn't have...
Yeah, that's something that drives me bonkers.
You know, it doesn't have the stops or the even the – and I've mentioned this to you off air and I've mentioned it on air. I just recorded – I don't know when this is coming out versus when the Geekcast Radio episode is coming out. I just recorded with Terry Smith from Music Talks Podcast. We discussed and reviewed Blackstone Cherry's 2020 album, The Human Condition. And in that, we both say a few times. I will cut those out. You know, I just want the best sound quality that I can get. And do I have a giant, you know, mixer and mixing? No, I don't. And that's okay, because with the style that I have of editing and with the way that we record stuff, it's easy enough for me to make it sound the best that I can make it, especially since this year I did the biggest sound editing project I will ever do, and I don't know if I will ever do that again. But, 100 hours for one top 100 kind of thing. But it's a lot different with podcasting versus a movie or a television show, because at least in audio podcasting, because you only have the voices and whatever. Like, my chair just started squeaking a second ago. And I barely moved in my chair. But it's one of those things where it's in audio, it's in this, it's in that. There are certain things you can cut and match or get rid of and, you know, go over with a clip or something. Whereas in video, you have to match up all of the audio, all of the video to make sure it looks and sounds great. You have to make sure the mix of the sound between the music, sound effects, and vocals. That's the thing with visual medium. Having to put audio in it is, oh my God, if those three things, the sound effects, music, and vocals, are not all matched to the point where they don't overtake each other, you're going to have a show, movie, whatever, that no one's going to want to watch because the music is too loud and the voices are too soft, or the voices are too loud and the sound effect of breaking glass is too, so you know what I mean? It all has to come together and be mixed well. And it's just a crazy way that we live now that everything boils down to compression. Everything gets compressed because of file sizes, because of whatever. And sometimes you lose the best part of the audio in that, and I try my best for us not to have that happen. But man, I bow down to those film editors that are editing visual with audio. Oh man,
yeah,
it's crazy, folks.
That it is.
Yes.
So is that something that bothers you? Let us know. feedback@geekcastradio.com. And let us know your thoughts. And is there something that you would like us to cover in a future episode? Let us know on there or let us know on social media. And we hope you enjoyed this little rant on on movie making, and that you'll tune in and be ready for some more as we find some more topics to cover.
Absolutely. I actually have a few that I will suggest to you off air because I want it to be a surprise for the listeners.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that's going to do it for this time on Altered Geek. And I don't really think this was a rant episode. I mean,
not really. It was kind of creatively talking about how it just bothers us.
Yeah. I mean, it for me, how I am. Well, I'm using air quotes that no one can see, but how I watch television now, and this is going to kind of tie into the topic suggestion I have for next time or the time after or whatever, is that because of my legal blindness, I'm sitting here at my computer, I can perfectly see all my icons on my desktop. I'm probably maybe 10 inches away from my monitor, so I'm sitting straight up in my chair. I have my hands on my desk, and I can see everything perfectly fine. I can read, Steve Megatron Phillips on the Skype window kind of thing. But with my vision, what I can't read and what I would have to get closer, like I would have to lean in like I am now, Transformers, 10 Decepticons You Didn't Know About. Like, I can't read that article description in the Skype window kind of thing. So my vision is one of those things where I end up listening to TV and movies more than watch, especially with stuff that I've already watched. Like, if it's a new film to me, obviously I will sit here and I will watch it and I will make sure I get all the visuals in my eye holes. But if it's something I've seen before, I usually can just listen to it because I just prefer to do that. So for me, listening to stuff makes me pick out the things that are wrong with it or things that I like about it. If you take the scene in Transformers, the movie, where you have Cup and everybody else doing the roadblock and you have Hot Rod come in and Dare is playing, and this is a pitch perfect mix. You have all that going on, you have the sound effects and everything else. And you have, as Hot Rod drives through the thing, you can hear the crash of the wood sign of the stop sign at the same time as the instrumental section of Dare is playing. Hot Rod speeds through. You hear that a little bit. And then it rolls over to Cup. The music kind of cuts. And then we have Turbo Revan, Young Punk, I'll straighten you out yet.
Yep.
You can hear all of that clearly without any overlap of any of those elements. The sound effects, the music, and the vocal.
Turbo Robin, Young Punk, I'll straighten you out yet.
It's all mixed to perfection. So yeah, TV and movies and video games. And I wouldn't necessarily say video. I mean, it depends on video games because sometimes video games, I just turn the music off. I don't want to hear, if I want to hear the music to a video game, I will find the album from the composer on Spotify or something. Like, there are a lot of video games where I don't need to hear the music of it. I just want to be able to hear the vocals and the sound effects. So, all right, folks, Christmas is coming up. We got a couple more episodes in us for this year, for 2021. And, yeah, I guess you can take us out, Steve.
So, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
This is The Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.